Yeah. At any rate, lines are open. Light them up if you want to. We're going to go forward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, good afternoon, Bob.
How are you, Kevin?
Kevin, good, doing good. Hold on just a second, though. I want to pass on a few words to the Michigan State Senate.
Oh, okay.
Vagina, vagina, vagina.
Yes.
And so there you are. I violated the decorum of the Senate and apparently said a very dirty word about someone's anatomy.
You know what?
I don't know about people anymore.
You know what needs to happen, and it would kind of have to happen on the fly, but somebody in some female member of the Michigan House of Representatives needs to have her last name changed to Vagina. Or better yet, if there is a progressive male member of the Michiganistan House of Representatives, he needs to have his last name changed legally in a court process to Vagina, so that every time he's called upon, the Speaker of the House, what's his name, Jafe Bolger, will have to say, "The chair recognizes Mr. Vagina." Isn't that perfect?
That would be interesting. Although, with the way that chair works, he probably would come up with a reason for not recognizing the man because he's violating decorum in the house.
Oh, right? But see, we could put in the courthouse pleadings that the man was changing his name because God told him to.
Yeah. That might work.
And so by not recognizing him, Jafe Bolger would be then violating his religious liberty by refusing to call him Mr. Vagina.
That is a thought.
Oh, it's like this all the time, Kevin. The wheels just turn and turn and turn. They're a little rusty sometimes, and every now and then we throw a sprong off the sprocket, but no, they just turn and turn. The smoke comes out, and that would just be brilliant, wouldn't it?
It would work for me. I personally think all the female representatives ought to go up there and use the word in every one of their speeches. And as far as him not recognizing that one woman, I would imagine she has some sort of court case available to her because he won't recognize her. Discrimination would be the start.
I honestly don't know the answer to that, Kevin, because each one of those bodies operates on an entirely separate set of rules. And the court would probably, I'm guessing, rule that the body has the right to maintain order in the means it best sees fit.
Except for the fact he's refusing to recognize her because she used that word. And I could see, you know, in the right-wing world where you might censure someone for that, but to refuse to ever recognize them again is a bit extreme, and I think you would have grounds to say that that is discrimination based on a person. Again, you could go back to that religious liberty thing, you know. Her religious liberty is being violated because she believes in abortion, and therefore, that's a religious belief. She could state that, you know, just like that Jewish woman you had on. I think maybe it was the same one, but the one that's
Ms. Brown.
Yeah, I back in my more religious days, I was listening to a Christian talk show, and a guy called in and quoted from the Bible, and it plainly shows where the woman's life is more valuable than a fetus. And, you know, of course Christians pick and choose anyway, which is bad enough, but at least if you're going to pick and choose and say you believe in the Bible, then what that young man quoted should be listened to, don't you think? Of course, they don't want to recognize the old Jewish laws of kosher because, oh, that's over with now. We don't have to recognize them. And that's where it goes. You get into this, you know, picking and choosing and everything else. And I've come to believe that religion is the drug of the people, and that's why these people are so successful in doing what they're doing, because it is a drug to people, plain and simple. You know,
I think it, but and not to be disagreeable, but I think it goes past that. You know, it was Marx, was it, who said that religion is the opiate of the masses?
Yep.
It goes far beyond that, though, because, you know, an opiate, you just sort of lay around and stare at your shoes kind of quietly and dream weird dreams. But what religion does to people is to empower them to think that their prejudices and their bigotries are the perfected declaration of the Almighty. And that is much more dangerous than any opiate. I guess it's the different, you know, Marx said religion is the opiate of the masses. I say religion is the angel dust of the masses, because it makes them crazy and go chew people's faces off. I mean, you're aware of that story, right, Kevin? It turns out that one of the zombies who was attacking people was religiously insane.
I actually didn't. I've been busy with things here in the Springs the last couple days.
Yeah, his potential fiance, girlfriend, whatever, said there were never any signs that he was anything like that. He was a perfect churchgoer or whatever. And for me, that just, you know, that statement does not set up a dichotomy. It is in fact complementary. Because when you buy into that kind of thing, and suddenly the voice in your head declares that it is God, and it's time for you to go and chew somebody's face off, well, if it's God saying it, you're more likely to do it, aren't you?
Yeah. You see that all the time with paranoid schizophrenics. Either God, a dog. What was Berkowitz up in New York?
Yeah, dog.
That was what his... But the dog was speaking for God, you know, and... So, and now Berkowitz says he's a born-again Christian, and therefore he's...
Of course he is!
Role. Yeah. But you don't see Jim Dobson using him like he did Ted Bundy, if you remember that.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
So,
yeah.
I have my own personal... faith, belief, or lack thereof, but at the same time, I don't try to force that on people, and that's probably the biggest difference between those of us who are progressive and the right-wing extremists, because you can do anything, like you said. All you have to say is, God told me to do it, and, you know, you're fine. And, you know,
that applies directly to, for instance, that constitutional amendment that was rejected Tuesday in North Dakota. If you said it was a function of your religious liberty, no matter what it was, then you had to get a pass.
Yep.
You know, including stoplights and traffic, other traffic signals, and who knows what else. Of course, this is on the heels of legislation that was attempted some years back that mandated that children would have to be given passing grades even if they got the questions wrong, as long as they said that they were inspired to answer the question the way they did by Jeebus. You know, 2 and 2 is 5. I'm sorry, Johnny, you're wrong. No, I'm not. Jeebus said it's 5.
Yep. I don't know what the answer is. I know we just have to keep fighting. I wanted to mention to you, they are talking. They didn't do a vote on it this Tuesday. They're doing it 2 weeks from now on fracking within the city limits of Colorado Springs. And obviously I'm against that, but I just find it incredible we're in the middle of a drought. We've got we just had another wildfire about 30 miles west of here.
Right, by all means, the whatever scarce water is left, let's use it drilling.
Yeah, and
I'm just checking now. You're in Colorado Springs, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do you have this thing there called wind, Kevin?
Yep.
Does the sun ever shine on Colorado Springs?
More often than not.
And generally speaking, Colorado?
More often than not.
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, I wasn't absolutely certain, but I thought so. And consequently, couldn't Colorado put up a whole bunch of, couldn't you put up a whole bunch of wind turbines and solar panels in Colorado and pretty much take care of Colorado's energy needs?
That is being attempted, but obviously not enough because we've got a drill. You know, it's the drill, baby, drill thing. I talked to someone last night who thought it was perfectly fine to drill where they're talking about drilling because they use clean water to drill. And I was to the point that I didn't even bother to respond to this guy because he was so unknowledgeable of what fracking does and how much poison it puts into the water and how much water it uses. I mean, we're in the middle of a drought, but yet, let's bring these people in here to drill and take what water we've got and contaminate it and then put that back into the streams and rivers and water and rain and everything else. And, you know, I just find it sad. I don't know how the council's going to vote, but I want to be there on the 26th when they take that vote because I'm definitely against it. It doesn't affect me right now where they're drilling, but who's to say that the water table, how the water flows, might not flow directly into the reservoirs that I get my water from.
Yeah, it does directly affect you. It does.
Yeah.
It directly affects everybody in Colorado who uses water.
Yep.
See, that's the one thing. That's there's this hierarchy of human needs. Maslow defined them as food, shelter, that kind of stuff. But if you break it down a little further, what is it? A human being can go 30, 40 days without food, right?
Yep.
We can go a couple or 3 days without water.
Yep.
We die in about 3 minutes without air.
Yep.
And so water and air are the two things that are most likely to be fouled by the hydrocarbon industry, even outside of any discussion of climate change.
Yep.
And with that in mind, one would think we would prioritize the cleanness of both of them. And yet, through organizations like the American Petroleum Institute or the Petroleum Institute of America or Americans for Oily Greasiness or whatever it is, they actually advocate to poison the two things without which humans die fastest, water and air, in reverse order.
And those people that live by there, I would be up and on, I'm one of those type of people, just like those Native Americans up there, I forget where it was, but Minnesota, I think, where they were protesting those trucks coming through their territory. And that's the way I'd be if I lived right down there by that, where they're talking about fracking. Stand in the road. Now they may run over me, but you got to take a stand sometime. That's the thing I am most concerned about is people, a lot of people just aren't willing to take those stands anymore, Tuesday we did a protest about our transportation. They were wanting to cut the express bus between Denver and Colorado Springs, and there were five people out there protesting, and that service
is a choice service that people pay $22 a day for, and it's very popular. But there were five people out there protesting it. There were a lot of speakers, but five people actually protesting with signs. And that's what most concerns me, because people are going to lose their jobs if they get this service. You know, people, and the money that comes back into Colorado Springs.
But Kevin, if you can get rid of the service, that'll be one more little bit of communism that's gone from America.
Exactly, yes. And that's where I'm making
And the free market will find a solution, because the free market, the invisible hand of the free market solves all problems.
Exactly, yeah. It solves all problems as long as the 1% get theirs and the 99%
get theirs too.
Right, but what we're talking about with get theirs is totally different.
Yeah, it is an entirely different definition. You're absolutely right.
Exactly.
Well, Kevin, it's awful good to hear from you. Thanks for getting out and being active and taking part in your civic process. I know it's a bigger challenge for you than for possibly some other folks, but you do it anyway, and it is much appreciated.
Well, thank you, Bob, and definitely am glad I can sit and listen to your show today without coming in late for it. So I appreciate what you do as well.
Thank you very kindly, Kevin. You have a good evening.
You too, Bob.
All right. Bye now. Kevin, calling from Colorado Springs, and bear in mind, if you ever are tempted to say, well, that may not directly affect me, if you sit and think about it for a little bit, you'll find that it does. It really does. The number, of course, is 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Direct dial 304-658-3333. And, of course, Skype available now to the handle Bob Kincaid Horn on your Skype account. Bob Kincaid Horn. It's that easy. I got a story, and I agree, I got a story from Fritz in Arkansas earlier today, and I have to agree that this is not necessarily... this has Moran Monday written all over it, but I can't hold it for that long. Fritz merely sent me this story with the comment, I really should stay away from the internet on my days off. Yeah. The story is making its way around the state of Arkansas right now to either approbation or the whatever the opposite of that is. The Ozark Teabaggers rallied on June the 9th in Mountain Home, Arkansas. One of the speakers was Inga Marler. Or, and I mean no disrespect, it may in Arkansas be pronounced Inge, I-N-G-E. Inga, or Inge Marler, is a Teabagger board member. And she gave some sort of an opening address. And you know how it is when you're talking to a crowd like that. You want to get them warmed up to you. You know, the things they teach you at Dale Carnegie about after dinner speaking and stuff. You want to give them a little chuckle and put a smile on their face before you begin really giving them the message. You want to give them an icebreaker joke. Now, being a teabagger, you can just imagine what the icebreaker joke was. Well, don't guess. I've got it here for you. Inga, or Inge Marler, steps up to the podium. And in order to get the teabaggers warmed up to her, offered the following. Strap in.
Can you hear me okay?
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, understand this is going to be, you know, in dialect.
Okay. The new definition of democracy. A black kid asks his mom, "Mama, what's a democracy?" "Well, son," she says, "that'd be when white folks work every day so us poor folks can get all our benefits." "But, Mama, don't the white folk get mad about that?" She says, "They sure do, son, they sure do. And that's called racism."
Oh, clap! Clap, you goddamn dumb little teabaggers! Yeah, ho, 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 I don't care who you are, that's funny. Yeah. Fritz went on to note that the population of the county where that joke was told is 0.2% of color. Did you notice the dialect? I don't know why she didn't just go all the way. I mean, the teabaggers wouldn't have cared. They probably would have approved. Why didn't she just go all the way and do it in blackface? There were 500 people there for that Baxter County, Arkansas teabagging rally. And you heard how they just laughed. Don't that make the white folks mad? Well, yes, it does, and we call that racism. Jesus Christ. Arkansas Stan. You know, I halfway wish I hadn't long ago deleted that soundbite from Tony Snow declaring that racism is over in America. I guess nobody ever got around to telling Inge Marler that there are by far more white folks on welfare than persons of color. In the audience there of those clapping, laughing, mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking freaks was Senator Missy Irvin, who is a repig-licking there in Arkansas. She tweeted about the event while she was sitting in her little teabagging chair. She said, "Great rally this afternoon for the Ozark Tea Party in Baxter County. Great job at Richard Castor." Richard Castor was the person who had invited Inge Marler to speak. Because that Inge Marler, she's a pistol. She'll say anything. She don't care what anybody thinks. A black kid asks his mom, in case you had a hard time hearing the audio. A black kid asks his mom, "Mama, what's a democracy?" "Well, son, that be when white folks work every day so us po' folks can get all our benefits." "But, Mama, don't the white folk get mad about that?" "They show do, son. They show do. And that's called racism." Shall we explore the underpinnings of why a teabagger would find that funny? Because, you see, a teabagger thinks that paying taxes are the same thing as being lynched. That is how divorced from reality your average teabagger is. because racism isn't really something. Racism isn't really the pernicious devil that stalks to this day our society. It's not really. It's just a matter of white people getting mad because the colored folk are getting their benefits. And so if somebody happens to get dragged behind a truck for a while till they're dead, or hanged from a tree, or their house burned down, or shot, or that's just because the white folks are tired of paying for those people's benefits. Jesus, what a disgusting pile of excrement Inger Inga Marler is. Naturally, she did catch some heat, and she apologized. Mm-hmm. When she was finally called on her nasty little bit of filth, she said, "Well, I'm sorry I told the joke. I just found it on the internet." You know what? There's another very famous joke that's out on the internet. Maybe she could try that one with the teabaggers next time. It's called The Aristocrats. I'm sure the teabaggers would just laugh. Don't look it up. Not if you've just eaten. It's deliberately disgusting. But this comes on the heels of something else, and you know, it's one of those West Virginia moments that I'm not particularly proud of. It turns out that my state may be the most racist state in the Union. Not Mississippi Stan. Not Alabama Stan. Not Michiganistan, but Appalachistan. And it's sad. Jesus, it's sad. Seth Stevens Davidowitz did some Google analyzing. In what I think is a fairly novel piece of work, Seth compared Americans' Google searches with their voting patterns. He concluded in a blog post at the New York Times, he said, "If my results are correct, racial animus cost Mr. Obama many more votes than we may have realized." He writes, "Barack Obama won 52.9% of the popular vote in 2008 and 365 electoral votes, 95 more than he needed. Many naturally concluded that prejudice was not a major factor against a black presidential candidate in modern America." Again, Seth Stevens Davidowitz says, hold up. He begins by explaining the problems of trying to analyze racism in data. Because even the racists, unless you're just a beer-swilling skinhead laying drunk at some monument somewhere, you're generally, you know, wearing your little 88 t-shirt. You're not going to say, "Well, hell yeah, I'm a racist." I mean, there's just not a whole lot of those people. There's enough, more than enough. They're there. And Lord knows they vote Republican. But there aren't as many of them as the folks who just are and don't want to admit it. Seth used a new tool he describes as called Google Insights. And it tells researchers how often words are searched in different parts of the United States. He says, of course, the results are not perfect, but the function works, as he describes it, remarkably well. Here's how it works. Google, aggregating information from billions of searches, has an uncanny ability to reveal meaningful social patterns, God is Googled more often in the Bible Belt, Lakers in Los Angeles. He continues, the conditions under which people use Google, online and mostly likely alone, not participating in an official survey, are ideal for capturing what they are really thinking and feeling. You may have typed things into Google that you would hesitate to admit in polite company. I certainly have, he says. The majority of Americans have as well. We Google the word porn more often than the word weather. You see where this is going? He says many Americans use Google to find racially charged material. He describes the unpleasant task of ranking states and media markets in the United States based on the proportion of their Google searches, including the word, and I'm sorry, I don't like to use it, but it is the reality of what he was doing, including the word nigger. This word, he says, was included in roughly the same number of Google searches as terms like Lakers, Daily Show, Migraine, and Economist. Really? Migraine? Economist? Lakers? Daily Show? That is not to say that they were Googled conjunctively. That word was Googled conjunctively with those phrases, just as often as. Consider the pervasive impact of The Daily Show. How often must that be Googled? Or the number of people who suffer from migraines? Or in a floundering economy, the number of people who look up economist or economics? He says a huge proportion of the searches I looked at were for jokes about African Americans. He says, I did not include searches that included the word nigga, N-I-G-G-A, because these searches were mostly for rap lyrics. Data came from 2004 to 2007. He says, because he wanted a measure not directly influenced by feelings toward Mr. Obama. He said, from 2008 onward, Obama becomes a prevalent term in racially charged searches. And then this, Bob's little oh-hell moment. The state with the highest racially charged search rate in the country was West Virginia. Before anybody starts feeling smug, the other areas with high percentages included Western Pennsylvania, Eastern Ohio, Upstate New York, and Southern Mississippi. So taking that data, Seth Stevens Davidowitz went to work. He said he tested whether Mr. Obama underperformed in those areas. He statistically predicted how many votes Mr. Obama should have received based on how many votes John Kerry received in 2004, plus the average gain achieved by other 2008 Democratic congressional candidates. The results, he says, were striking. The higher the racially charged search rate in an area, the worse Mr. Obama did. He offers up as a comparison Denver, Colorado, and Wheeling, West Virginia. Mr. Kerry received roughly 50% of the votes in both markets. He says, based on the large gains for Democrats in 2008, Mr. Obama should have received about 57% of votes in both Denver and Wheeling. Denver and Wheeling, though, exhibit different racial attitudes. Denver had the fourth lowest racially charged search rate in the country. Mr. Obama won 57% of the vote there, just as predicted. Wheeling had the seventh highest racially charged search rate in the country. Mr. Obama won less than 48% of the Wheeling vote. Adding up the totals throughout the country and racial animus cost Mr. Obama 3 to 5 percentage points of the popular vote. Racial prejudice, he concludes, gave John McCain the equivalent of a home state advantage nationally. Here's where it gets scary. Mr. Stevens Davidowitz says it is possible, if my findings are correct, that race could very well prove decisive against Mr. Obama in 2012. Most modern presidential elections are close. Losing even 2 percentage points lowers the probability of a candidate's winning the popular vote by a third, and prejudice could cost Mr. Obama crucial states like Ohio, Florida, and even, I don't know why he uses the word even, Pennsylvania, because I know what my good friend Rick Smith says, Pennsylvania is Pittsburgh on one end, Philly on the other, and Alabama in the middle. And it's true. So, sorry, Tony Snow, wherever it is that you're roasting in hell, whatever spit you're turning on, no, Tony Snow, racism is not over in America. And the fact of the matter is, it may just be getting into full swing. And yes, West Virginia is a profoundly racist state. I've gotten to where I cannot stand the sight of a couple of individuals in my own little town because of the number of times that I've walked into a convenience store to hear them telling those jokes. It is sickening. And it causes me no small amount of grief because I'll look at him and say, oh, you're a real laugh riot. Racism much? Well, I ain't no racist. Yeah. So, understand. When the teabaggers, the teabagger rally in Mountain Home, Arkansas was not atypical. It is how teabaggers are. Because they were nowhere to be found during the 8 long tormented years of the dim sun regime, in which all those financial things that they profess to be so heatedly, patriotically upset about were on full display and in fuller swing than anything that has happened since January 2009. They were nowhere to be found. You let a man with darker skin, however, declare that perhaps it would be a good idea not to let Detroit and the auto industry simply die. And the next thing you know, we're taking our country back. Where's my Lee Greenwood, damn it? Yeah. Yeah. Jim noting, yeah, that joke is as funny as ALS, my lord. Ron and Raleigh. Hey, Bob, I bet if you ask, none of those folks would admit to being a sheet-wearing, cross-burning, Negro-lynching racist. Well, no, they wouldn't admit it or nothing. That's half the fun of, being a racist, is getting to say you ain't one. Till you get caught a clapping as loud as you can clap by the microphone for a racist joke. Let's keep it rolling. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Hey, Jim, what's up?
Reacting to the joke that idiot told. You know,
you'd like to think that America is gone, but it's not, Jim. It's just not.
Let me tell you a story, okay?
Go right ahead.
Back in the 30s, well, it must have been 1932, 1933, Could have been 34, 35. That's my dad got out of Citadel. He came home to Camden, South Carolina. And, you know, with at this place. It was a tavern in Camden. And a bunch of his cronies were laughing about something they had just done. And what they had done is they had taken a black boy named Savon Giger, and they had cast him adrift in a boat in a pond. And they thought that was so funny. So my dad asked, you know, well, where did you leave him? Out in the pond, in the dark. My dad went out there, got the child, took him to his mother, and his mother said, Mr. Anderson, she said, I don't know what I can do. I really can't take care of him properly. My dad took him home. He was raised with my family. He saw that he went to school, went into the service, and later came out as a postmaster in Chicago.
I'll be damned. That's beautiful, Jim. Postmaster.
Yep, sure did. And he came to our family reunion.
Sure enough. Because he was family.
Absolutely. In the 30s, you know, at the height of the Bedsheet Brigade, you know, one would hope that, I don't know, through all the civil strife and stuff like that and the prejudices and other things that have continued through the decades, that some of that spirit would have survived. But it would appear to me as though its growth has been, you know, severely attenuated and diminished.
Yeah. Well, and it's on the thing that scares the dickens out of me is that, all right, so I tell the story that Fritz sent along about the woman in Arkansas, and maybe we can sort of reassure ourselves by saying, well, you know, that's just an isolated incident. But then, Jim, when you couple it next to the findings of this doctoral student who drilled down into, you know, Google searches are amazingly personal. And they do tell us things that we would rather not know about ourselves. Yeah, the Google Analytics, if I write something about coal mining in an email, Google will offer me an ad at the top about coal mining jobs. They can't predict everything perfectly, but when you're running around out there and in a state like ours where we live, Jim, West Virginia, when you correlate those search results with the fact that 23% of Democratic voters in the 2008 Democratic primary, in which Republicans were not allowed to vote, said that they voted for Hillary Clinton because they weren't ready for a Negro in the White House, you know that Mr. Stevens Davidowitz is pretty much on the right track, isn't he?
I guess so.
And it leaves open the question of how in God's name, with the understanding that you have offered from time to time that there are some things that only the grave can cure. Well, the grave has been curing a lot, you know, say between 1920 and now. But it isn't gone and it isn't even fading.
Well, it's passed down from generation to generation. You know that, right?
Yeah, this is where we cue up the soundtrack to South Pacific and you have to be carefully taught, right?
That's it. Very carefully taught of people whose skin is a different shade. It's sung by John Kerr to, I think it was Bloody Mary or whomever who played one, you know, or,
yeah,
you know, Juanita Hall or whomever in South Pacific. Yeah, you're right.
And that's what I really, honest to God, I can't get my mind around that notion that as you and I speak right now, there are households in this state where if you played that joke, they, like the attendees, would laugh, and if you told them that people had been offended by it, they'd say, well, that's just, see, that's what political correctness does.
Oh, Bob, I can remember when I first came here, and I went into a hardware store downtown. It's no longer in operation, but it was Martin Luther King Day. We had the day off, and I'd go down there, and I wished the proprietor happy Martin Luther King Day and extended my hand. He wouldn't shake it. I'm not kidding.
I don't think you are. I would not gainsay you for an instant in that.
He thought I was just absolutely nuts. It looked at me like I was just...
three heads.
...come on the earth. Yeah, it sure did. I mean, we'll forget that. I hadn't thought about that in a long, long time. But I just wanted to relay that story of my dad.
Well, I thank you for doing it. I really appreciate it, Jim, and I know the Horn family does, too.
Well, I hope they do, because it was something that, you know, I grew up with, and it was just a different type of attitude.
And, you know, something...
And that's real, what I call Christianity.
Yeah. If you've done it unto the least of these, my brothers, you've done it also unto me. Right?
Absolutely. And I hope as my father looks down from heaven tonight that he has heard this broadcast.
You know, I do too. I do too, because you've told us a few things about your father, and he must have been an incredibly special man, especially in his age, in his time, and in his geography.
Yeah, he was. He was a wild sort. As a matter of fact, my mother told me that she was told not to even give him a date, because after he was out of school, he used to barnstorm. He used to fly planes and stuff like that. And
oh, no kidding.
Oh, yeah. He was a member of the OX-5, the original Aviators of America. It's called OX-5. You can look it up on the Internet. And I have his certificates of that hanging in my hallway.
Well, I can say, I mean, no offense, but I can see where a mother might advise her daughter not to have anything to do with a barnstormer, because it tended to be a short career back then, didn't it?
I know it. In this point, he was from a pretty good family. They said he was just too wild and had too many strange ideas. And I think it was probably not the barnstorming, but the ideas that he would express and stuff like that didn't exactly coincide with his fellow travelers or people like that, you know.
Well, Jim, you do well by your daddy, and I think that's all that any parent could ever ask.
I hope so, Bob. I hope so, Bob. I just wish he were still around so I could honor him more.
Lord, I know. I miss mine every day, and I've tried to explain to people some of the hurt goes away, but the lonesomeness never does.
That's true. That's very true. And, you know, I just wanted to share that with you, and I thought that other people within the sound of my voice would appreciate it. But that young man was reared, and he got an education, and he went into service country and came out, got into the civil service, and became a very useful member of the community, and also would reattend all of our family reunions. He was family.
Beautiful. It almost, that could very easily be a screenplay, Jim. It truly could. And an inspiring one into the bargain.
I think you're right there. Well, listen, I know you have other people who are waiting on the line to get in for the hour closes, so you take care.
All right. Have a good evening, Jim. Take care.
Good night, sir.
Bye now. The warm and wonderful things you find out when family sits down to chat. And that's us, the Horn family. A couple of lines open if you want to jump in. 14 minutes past the hour. I trust you know the number by now. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brother Bob. Good afternoon.
Brother Albert, how are you?
You know, how are you going to do? Talking about this racism nonsense. I'd like to think that overwhelming the majority of people aren't racist. I know I'd like to think that. But I think, you know, when we talk about the young people, yeah, there's still some. But the thing, I think the big problem is the other side, they're just so loud. Their projections is that we're shrill and that we're, you know, whatever we are, everything they are, you know, everything that they project on us. They're the victims. Obama.
Yeah, they complain the most the things they complain the most about in us are the things that they routinely manifest in themselves. Fairly put.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And it would be easy to say that, you know, they're just loud and they get more attention because of how loud and obstreperous they are. But when with the caveat understanding that. That there are lies, damned lies, and statistics. The Google data that the gentleman put forward kind of says that that on a gut level it is much more prevalent than anyone might have realized.
I think it's you got to watch with that Google data cuts both ways. You know, I mean, I myself have searched things that, you know, probably aren't very good, but I got to search them to get more information about them so I can, you know, dismantle them. You know, so, you know, I mean, who hasn't wound up on Stormfront? You know, I mean, you got to don the filth suit, the biohazard suit, and everything else.
And go wading into the swamp. I know. I remember the night on this program where I went wading off to a website about something called Prussian Blue to find some little blonde twins who were singing Nazi hate anthems. Children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Mommy and Daddy were taking them around to various skinhead Aryan Nations, Klan, Nazi rallies, and promoting their children, trying to hustle some money on their children's backs by getting their children to sing hate songs.
And I mean, and if you haven't seen the documentary about those girls once they grew up, there is one out there. The name doesn't, you know, but I'm sure a Google search, you know, just if, unless you don't want to be on the Google analysis there, you know, you're not going to be a racist, but you know, look for it, see it. See what kind of impact that's done. I mean, yeah, they're still in, you know, wherever, Idaho, you know, but they are, you know, kind of pushed out, you know, that kind of mindset really isn't. And I mean, I know I'm in a bubble, but that mindset doesn't really fly with anyone I really know. You know, you get it here and there, but you know, not.
Yeah, what's frightening? What's frightening though is that there, and I'm not disagreeing to be disagreeable, is that we all do have our bubbles. You know, I don't hang out with anybody who talks or thinks that way, but the fact of the matter is, like I said, all I've got to do is find out that we're out of cat food at 9:05 p.m. and drive down to the local Rippy Mart for a tin of little Friskies, and it's there for me any night of the week that I want to hear it. And there's a couple of giggling idiots who routinely talk about the President of the United States, not in terms of whether or not he is a good president,
mm-hmm.
or whether his policies are effective, but why he has to be gotten rid of because of the color of his skin.
Well, brother, I know the toxin's deep. You know, the toxin's deep, especially in some areas. You know, some areas are necrotic in terms of, you know, this fabric. You know, I hate to keep harping on David Attenborough, but my God, I wish people would start watching some more documentaries. It should be required. How do you not see these connections? And, you're going to sit there and cry about race. Fish don't, you know, it's just so ridiculous. So ridiculous. It's sad. It's disgusting. You know, it just is disgusting. I'm so sad.
You know, you're gonna love this. It's certainly sidebar material and not directly on point. But Agnes sent me we live in the same house. We love each other. We've been married for 19 years. And I get emails and text messages from my wife. she sent me this story about a recently rediscovered pamphlet from the early 20th century Robert Falcon Scott expedition, Terra Nova, in search of the South Pole. Roald Amundsen eventually beat him to the South Pole. Scott, like a dummy, got himself all dead. But there was a natural a natural historian, they were called at the time, who was observing the wildlife and wrote a pamphlet, Albert, that was suppressed at the time about the shockingly pornographic behavior of penguins. And how he caught them in the act of being of engaging in homosexual behavior, and what really shocked him was the fact that he observed them in the act of necrophilic behavior. And he used these phrases like perverted and unnatural, and you know, things that betray him as a man of his times. But there, you know, there it was, and the only reason I mention it is that that was an era when people put skirts on tables to keep the legs from showing because they were afraid it would arouse people into a sexual orgiastic frenzy. When in fact it was the repression that brought on the sexual orgiastic frenzy, right?
Yeah. Repression is nasty. Look at what it's doing to the Republicans.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I got an email earlier from Liberal in South Carolina pointing out after I played Lee Greenwood Mr. Greenwood is gay.
Mm.
He said, the Liberal in South Carolina said, "You don't need to say it, but you can tell everybody that I said it. Lee Greenwood's gay." Now watch the conservative heads explode. He said, "I was in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee when Greenwood opened his theater there, and in Branson I used to buy most of our theater supplies from Greenwood's former technical director. The man is gay." He is welcome to make comments saying that it's not worshiping the flag and it's not worshiping God, it's just honoring and tribute. He's welcome to do that as long as he himself remains repressed. As long as he stays in the closet where, in the views of the right wing, he damned well belongs. Because that contributes to that gone, never happened in the first place, leave it to Beaver world, where the Republicans think that somehow if they just click their ruby slippers enough, they will find their way back to.
Yeah, well, you know, but they keep, you know, they're just playing football this whole time. And you know that they're the ones with the problem with it. You know, I mean, who amongst us, I'm sure there was always idiots on our side. But still, I mean, you know, if you look at the numbers, who's gonna have it? You know, who has more members on that team? We all know. And they're the ones with the problem. And yeah, you're right. They're the ones that gotta suppress it. They can't even have governors, right? Is that governor a whole thing? And it's only an issue because it's an issue with them. But we're the homophobes, and we're the racists, and you know, we're the Marxists, and all the other things, you know, because, you know, they're going to block all the judges now. Now they're going to sit here and, you know, just keep the ball of no going while they say, "Oh, Obama's blaming it for spending trillions on the economy, and oh, look at this, a Kenyan usurper, where's his birth certificate?"
You know, and then of course, there's... we've played him on the program from time to time, Brian Fisher from the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi, who has recently declared that allowing gay people to adopt children is the very same thing as, you know, one-to-one equivalence, Brother Albert, is the very same thing as child sexual abuse.
You know, we should have let McCain win. We should have. We should have let it burn. You know, these are the reasons. They're like a mold and a mildew. It doesn't matter. You know, they're in there deep. They're in the grout. Just got to redo. We got to regrout it. It's ridiculous.
We got to regrout.
That's. I mean,
perfect.
What else can you say?
Toaster.
What else can you say? This is ridiculous. You know, I mean. You know, it's Obama that deregulated the banks. Didn't you know that? You know? Because, I mean, we only collapsed in 2007.
Right, there was no 2001 recession.
No. No, there was no, you know, making McDonald's employees manufacturing sector jobs.
No, that never happened.
None of that. No, and there was none of that, you know, all that gerrymandering of the numbers. They didn't do that, and, you know, they didn't do any of that, and I can't imagine why they would imagine that all the deregulation that they didn't do, you know, caused, you know, all the damage the Democrats did. That's what it is, right?
I mean, yeah, but the within the framework of your regrout theory, Albert, it is buried deep, and the problem is when it lays deep and it goes from dormant to active.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's buried deep, it causes big problems. By analogy, there's a story out there today that in Oregon a case of bubonic or perhaps I forget the other name for it. Plague. Freaking plague is being reported. It's the fifth case in like 10 years or something. A guy was bitten by a rat that he was trying to save from a cat.
Uh-huh.
And came down with the plague. You know, including the buboes.
Yeah.
The black pustulent things filled with dead bacteria and old white blood cells and blech.
Well, he's
critically ill. He's critically ill, but here's the kicker. Because of the fact that there aren't many cases of bubonic plague anymore, no one in the United States manufactures bubonic plague vaccine. So I guess they're treating him in the hospital and everything, but they're having to look somewhere else around the world to try to find some plague vaccine. And of course, now that
Botox. You know, I'm sure the politicians will be wondering, hey, where everybody go? All the actresses, hey, Ivana Trump, all the other ones.
No, Jesus.
Where's Jeeves? I need a martini.
Lupe!
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we'll pay. That would be awesome. There, goddess of irony again. Strikes again.
Oh, she stays busy.
Yeah, well, there's so much to stay busy about. Look at it. I mean, it is downpour. It's ridiculous. It's cats and dogs out there. You know, I mean
here we are in a country that is struggling economically, and to say struggling is a very mild word at this point. Well, I mean, the 1% aren't struggling. They're doing very nicely, thank you very much, and please bring them another lobster, would you, Albert? Are you going to have a 1%? I got to ask you, are you going to have a 1% pizza?
No.
you need to put a 1% pizza on the menu with, like, lobster and Kobe beef and, you know.
Yeah, it'd be like $80,000.
Yeah, and it's $80,000.
Happens if I get called on it, because you know that's just gonna I must be the first, and then they're gonna come in, they're gonna be like
well, but see, that's the whole thing, it's the free market. That's the $80,000 is all markup. Pardon me while I go fish up a lobster somewhere, you know, in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's the can opener.
But you know, here, yeah, it, right.
We'll put those Vienna sausages on there too, real fancy.
Yeah, yeah. With the little, wrap them in bacon.
Wrap them in bacon, call them pâté.
Right. The pâté de cylindrique. But in the midst of all these problems we've got, guess who introduced a sex selective abortion ban in the Senate today?
Shooting monkeys in a barrel, you gotta get the red one. I mean, there's way too many to hit on the way in. I can't even begin.
You gotta have the monkey piercing rounds.
I gotta have the special scope or something so I can see through the fake monkeys. Which one? Give me.
Well, it's called the Prenda. The prenatal non-discrimination act. Because, you know, everybody's gone back to work. The global economy is not teetering on the brink of collapse. You know, they're not going core on the floor in Japan. The water is fine, the air is clean, and just like, you know, what's his name says on Prairie Home Companion, all the women are strong and all the children are above average.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The Prenatal Non-Discrimination Act has been introduced in the Senate of the United States yesterday by none other than Diaper Dave Vitter.
He wasn't in the top, but he was there. He was close.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, I can imagine you were thinking some, like, Arizona teabagger or maybe Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist.
He at least he got smacked down the other day, but he still got 36 votes or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Well, see, I think Rand is quietly out there, making just a. Because he said something the other day that was very important. He endorsed Willard Romney. But he said, I'm endorsing him, but I'd sure rather have somebody else. I've been campaigning for my daddy since I was 11 or some such crap as that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what that does? I think that that actually elevates Rand Paul as a potential Veep nominee choice.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can be the vice presidential nominee that all of the right wingers who hate Willard Romney can rally around.
Yep.
Frightening, ain't it?
No, that's that. You know, you hear all this call. I mean, I don't know if they got, you know, double points for callers. You know, the GOP and their little go into their little legions of shills. But you know, there's a lot of noise out there about third party this and this, and I used to vote for Obama, but now I'm not going to vote for Obama because, oh my God, he's killed 800 people, but I voted for Bush the first time. Oh, but that was okay. All right. So it just, you know, there's a lot of noise out there, and I think Rand Paul would be quite the antacid for a lot of these people that are very loud and very vocal, and they'd be something that they could get around. That's kind of scary. You know, but at the same time, it's also that's a royal straight flush. Let them have it. Let them have it. Go ahead, boys. Oh yeah. More gasoline, huh? Okay, yeah. All right, go ahead. We're just gonna go back here, and we're just gonna walk.
A couple of miles back and watch while you strike matches.
Yeah, go ahead. I want more gas. No, more gas. More. Drill. Go ahead. We'll be all right. Yep.
Yeah. See, I had a little Albert moment after I heard the Green News report at the top of the second hour. You know, that story about the teabaggers are going to go and go toe-to-toe with the children flying kites. And I, in the back of my mind, you know, this is the impact that y'all have on me. Because I hear your voices in my head even when the show isn't going. And you know, I heard six busloads of teabaggers are going to go and go toe-to-toe with the children flying kites. And all I heard was Albert in the back of my head going, what? But,
yeah, it's...
Yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah. It's crazy. What are they doing? What?
See?
Well, it's incomprehensible. I can't even fathom it. It just makes no sense. It makes no sense on a billion levels, and other than the fact that they are bought and paid for by you-know-who, and we all know who. Who's paying for the buses? Who?
Americans for Prosperity.
Yeah, and who pays their bills?
You know, the Koch brothers.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And we all know how they made their money, right? Making all those power plants for Mr. Stalin, Joseph.
Yep, true enough. You know, absolutely.
There's so much poverty. We don't like this poverty. That's what I remember. I read old Graham Daddy's little comments on the Soviets. He didn't like the poverty and but you know, he quickly jumped out, and they jumped in pretty quick, didn't they? Because they've been around there a long time. How much are they going to spend?
Well, I don't know about them, but you know, Sheldon Adelson, the guy who was bankrolling Professor Newton Leroy, Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist. Well, Sheldon has said he is prepared to pump something on the order of $100 $1 million into Willard Romney's campaign. The guy is worth something like $24.9 billion. In other words, anything that using Citizens United, he pumps into these filth campaigns. They're rounding errors. They're rounding errors, Albert.
It's couch cushion money. They got big couches, real big. You know, and this is another reason why.
You holler for Lupe to come in, and then $100 million falls out of the couch.
And you know, we all know My Little Pony. You know, I want a pony, he's not on a freaking ballot. And this is why we really need to come together. We need to go, all right, get the clothespins out, and we need to defeat this. That's really the best way to defeat Citizens and overturn it, is by us getting excited. And you want to do something, right, Occupy? Okay, Occupy, yes. Have another, you know, and I agree with Bill Maher on that. All right, yeah, we know, yeah, okay, let's go. We got to get going here. Let's move. Put down the bongo drums. Bring the joint. Bring it. Let's go. We got to go. It's time to march. It's time to get. We have to vote, because if we don't, then they win, and they win forever.
Yeah, and
that's what it feels like.
Well, I mean, they're winning. Paul Krugman pointed it out, Albert. We may have a Democratic president, or a president with a D after his name, but the economy is working on Republican principles, and they are driving us into the ground as we speak, and they want to drive us further into the ground. And it's the way the Stump Liquor Bunch behaves. When you have got your victim, when you're all liquored up and you've got your victim on the ground, it's not enough just to stomp him. You want to stomp him deeper. And that's what they want to do beginning in 2013 and going forward. You know, it ain't enough to beat us. We gotta have a good grinding too.
And
I suggest that everybody, say it out loud. Say it with me. Say it with Albert and me. Say President Romney. Imagine this program with me having to say President Romney, Willard the President. For 4 effing years.
At least.
Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me that you can stay home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and all of this comes, like I said, get your clothespin out at the same time. Put the clothespin on your nose and say, President Romney.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, amen, Brother Bob. Amen.
I mean, I wish there was some bona fide, honest-to-goodness, progressive liberal, I still like the word liberal,
mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Running for the office. There isn't.
That's right.
We have one guy who makes more of the right noises than the guy who's making all of the wrong noises.
And, you know, we can't let him get the blame for this. We knew they were going to do it, right? I remember we called.
Yeah, we have the proof now. That book, that blog post from Daily Coast that was out that quotes the book talking about the secret Republican meeting attended by people like Jim Demented. And they sat there talking about what it would be necessary to do in order to destroy the economy of the United States so as to prevent Barack Obama from having a second term.
And then?
And then they put it into practice, Brother Albert.
That's exactly right. You got to know, you got motive, right? You got all the evidence.
You got motive. You got opportunity.
Yeah, and you got all the evidence. I mean, it's all right there. How many filibusters? How many this? How many that? How many everything? Everything. And every time that there's a bill, yeah, I know the NDAA sucks, but he has to sign it. He has to. What is he going to do? Not sign it? Oh, he hates the troops. See what he's doing? Oh, he hates the troops. And I know a lot of people get upset about the cannabis issue and medical marijuana. What is he going to do? Oh, see, he spent $15 trillion and now he's selling marijuana to kids. To your children. That's what the next thing you'd hear. This is not a joke. These guys are playing. They're crazy. They want it. They planned all this. So, you know, it's just that's why they don't accept any personal responsibility for the Bush years. The Bush years are great. That wasn't the lost decade. That was great. We should go back to that.
Yeah, Barack Obama's only created 70,000 jobs. Well, that's 70,000 more jobs than George Bush created in 8 years.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's all them Democrats ever do in Obama. All he ever wants to do is blame George Bush. Well, who's he supposed... I mean, you know, from the I Want a Pony department, who's he supposed to blame? The unicorns?
Yeah.
Who was president for those 8 years, Albert?
We all know. We all know. This is why it's like talking about... That's what they want to do. They want to try to argue ubiquitous issues. They try to tell you the sky isn't, you know, no, the sky's not blue. That's not blue. That's yellow. No,
right.
It's blue.
Yeah, meanwhile, guess what they want, Albert?
Everything.
Well, they want it all, yeah. But this is the particular fetishistic yearning of one group. I got a little audio here. You ready for it? Yes, strap in.
Iran's development of a nuclear weapon, I believe, is unacceptable. We do want to make sure that by the end of this year, we've actually seen a serious process move forward.
President Obama has spent 4 years talking. Iran has spent 4 years building a secret nuclear site, nuclear fuel near weapons level, long-range missiles. Obama is still talking, and Iran has enough fuel for 5 nuclear bombs. Talking isn't working. It's time to act before it's too late.
Yeah, did you hear the explosion noise at the end, Brother Albert?
What is this, Running Man? What is this? What the hell kind of shit is that? What? That is crazy.
Brought to you by the Emergency Committee for Israel. Bill Crystal, Grand Dragon.
Oh, my God. It's time to act. That's what I mean. I already said that, Israel.
Yeah, it's time to act. Okay, so what? Barack Obama, now is the winter of our discontent, made glorious summer by the son of York, and all the problems that are lower than their house cloth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Evidence, schmevidence.
We want to see some dead Persians.
That's exactly... That was scary. That's scary. That's a scary thing in any way, shape, and form you look at it. You know, this is what I mean. Oh, but he's the warmonger. Right? Obama, I thought he was a warmonger. Is he a warmonger, or is he talking too much? What is he doing? What is going on? I don't understand. Go to war with Iran? Why? And I'm telling you, Iran...
And, you know, they don't want a war with Iran, you know, if Iran successfully tests a nuclear weapon or... They don't want a war with Iran if Iran menaces one of its neighbors. No, they want a war with Iran yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And see, all of this is nothing but shameless politic, and to try to get the hardline pro-Israel Jewish bloc to vote for Willard Romney, who thinks he's Wait a minute, let's do it, brother. Planet Kolob.
Planet Kolob.
Right, because Willard Romney thinks he's secretly a Jew. Or that the Indians are. Or something. Because, you know, those plates that you can only read through a hat with a rock say that all the Indians are the lost tribes of Israel.
The place that he saw, I'm sure.
Yeah, they came across through the Greenland land bridge.
Mm.
You know, the one that's never been geologically or geographically proven. I guess they went up from Israel, probably through Asia Minor, up across the steppes, rode across to Britain, and then they rode some more to Iceland, and then they rode to Greenland. And those weren't Viking settlements. Oh, my God, Albert, those weren't Viking settlements. Those were the lost tribes of Israel.
Yeah, five kings, remember?
Yeah.
Mm. five kings, the five lost kings in the tribe. And then God came down in his spaceship from planet with his harem. Oh, Bob. Oh.
Randy adding in, yeah, Planet Kolob needs to be interspersed with magic undies.
Captain Kolob, that's what I call him.
Yeah.
Captain Kolob.
And the Planeteers.
And and the Underoos. It's Planet Kolob and the Underoos.
There you go.
Yeah, you like that?
I like that a lot.
That's what I mean. All right, yeah, go ahead. All right, yeah, no, stay home. Oh, no, vote for Roseanne Barr. Oh, no, vote Libertarian. Oh, no, go ahead. No, vote for Romney. Just vote for Romney. Just vote for him. Go ahead. We'll have a war with Iran, and then it'll escalate into Syria, and there'll be, you know, it'll be another just George Bush thing. They'll go and they'll lie before the UN again. They'll hold up, you know, crayon drawings, and it's just, go ahead. We'll do it all over again. And this time, maybe it won't end as, you know, it won't end with the Barack Obama presidency.
Yeah, by the way, we've crossed the 2,000 dead American soldiers in Afghanistan, Mark Albert.
Lovely. Shouldn't have went there, but, you know, we're there. What are you going to do? What are you going
to
do?
Try to get out.
You know, try to get out, you know. I mean,
not 2024, 2014, please.
You know, but, you know, we also have to get this Bush tax cut to get out of here. We need that gone. You know, there's a lot of things we need to. We need to go. I hate to say it. I hate to be crass towards Afghanistan, but you know, can we win there? You know, can we? The only way I think we can win is if we teach these people how to bake bread. We teach them how to build correctly. We teach them how to exploit their resources and build roads and schools and water power from plants and everything else. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? That's the only thing I think we can do. You know, I mean, but, you know, you sit there and you look, Pakistan, God, these places are holding on by.
Well, right, and the Emergency Committee for Israel is having a shit hemorrhage over, over Iran. Meanwhile, Pakistan is hanging on by the last frayed thread of a shoestring, and they've already got the bomb. And they've got religiously insane people there who would really like to use it.
Yeah.
You know, if we can just get rid of, you know, General, then, you know, but the funny thing is, I don't think they're half as crazy about the idea of nuking Israel as they are nuking us.
See, but, and this is the other thing, too, like...
But they gotta get it here.
But let's look at this, you know, like, that's through the eyes of fear, but...
Right,
through the eyes of anybody, if one person does that, they're done. And everyone knows it. Then no one's going to... I mean, Russia's not going to launch on us. We're not going to launch on Russia. China's not going to launch on us. There's nothing to be gained from it. One of our submarines could take out everyone. And we have how many of them? I mean, there's no... One terrorist... I'm sorry, Mumbai. And everyone would probably throw in one. Who wouldn't? You'd want to show solidarity against that kind of craziness. I mean, there's no winning a nuclear war. We know this.
Yeah.
And the only reason anybody wants it.
Shall we play a game? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I can see the only reason why, you know, Iran would want it is for defense. Just to say, oh, I've got one and then you won't invade me.
Yeah. Leave me alone. Yeah. I've got one of these.
Yeah. But one isn't, what is one?
Not much compared to 200 Israeli ones.
Yeah, but they got more than that. They got way more than that. They got three times that. You know, and they're all good ones. They're all real good. You know, and they just want to launch their first one. They're almost like the little dog someday. They gotta just stop. God, they're like on steroids and they're Woody Allen on steroids and coke. You know, neurotic. It's just a neurotic mindset. And, you know, I'm not saying all. I'm not.
Bill
I'm
Crystal, not saying, Woody know. Allen on steroids and coke. That's just perfect.
Come on. Sit down and relax. No. Yeah, all right. We know you don't like it. Sit down. Relax. Sit down. Put the dollar bill down. 2 minutes. Here, have some coffee. You know, settle down. That's what I mean.
Decaf.
Decaf, something. Just, here, have some, yeah, here's your melatonin drip. I mean, it's just, they got to stop. It's just not? I could. You know, I mean, I don't. Who hears that and says, oh, yeah, let's go to. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody. And I think there's enough of those centrist Republicans that kind of would side with us on that. You know, I don't think that Colin Powell's going to come out and say, you know, they're not going to have him again. Who are they going to have? Who are they going to have? Mitch McConnell? You buy that? I wouldn't buy nothing from that guy. You buy anything from he ain't going to sell it. He don't have that kind of that gravitas. They don't.
No, but again, with that repeating that nightmare scenario where we all say 1, 2, 3, President Romney,
Vice President Randy Paul.
Yeah, you know, because he can come out with his hair greased back, you know, all Reagan-licious.
Mm-hmm. All plastic.
And stand up there and use those grave tones that he probably uses when he's being a bishop or whatever it is he is. We can no longer tolerate Iran's efforts to obtain a nuclear device that we don't know they're trying to obtain. So I've ordered the attack.
Yeah.
It's at least 60% in the realm of possibility. Isn't it?
Well, I sure hope.
Gives me the dribbles just thinking about it.
But our only enemy is ourselves.
Right.
If we give in to apathy and to all this other shit, that's what it's going to be.
Fear is the mind killer.
Fear is the mind killer. And a President Romney... President Romney? What? We just got out of Bush. Do you remember how bad that was? Do you remember? That's the thing I have to ask people. They don't remember. It's like 6 months. That's it. Reset. Degauss everything. It's like, you know, and then you remember some dates in history. But do you remember? I mean, watch something with Bush as...
Right. From 1066 to January 2009. Big blank space.
That's what it feels like. It really does. I mean, just go watch a Bush speech. It'll bring you right back into it.
We'll get to watch Willard try to open doors that won't open in China. he'll get to stare into Pootie Poot's soul.
Oh yeah, my good friends, Vladimir, because you know he'd mess it up. You know he's just going to be a bumbling. Just drone. Romneybot isn't programmed for anything more than running for president and failing.
That and buying horses.
Everyone needs one of those, right?
Yeah, their horse is going to the Olympics.
Yeah. Oh, what status symbols? Don't you just love it? Car elevators. I love that one. Car elevators. Just think about how...
You know, when I was four, I had one of those for my matchboxes. And it was so cool because you'd roll your little matchbox into it and you'd turn the little crank and it would get to the top of the parking deck and there was a little bit of a cant to it, a little bit of a rake to it. So you'd crank it up to the top, the little bell would ring and the little car would roll out and down around and into a parking space. I understand wanting a car elevator. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. Well, it was until I got my Major Matt Mason space station.
But still, think about it. What kind of life is that? What kind of landscape does he have? I think I need a car elevator. Like, no, a real one. Really.
Batman had one.
What is...
Well, no, he didn't, did he? He actually slid down the damn pole to get to the Batcave.
He did, didn't he? Yeah, he did.
And then they drove out of the bottom of the mountain.
He's only...
You know, they're at Wayne Manor. Romney Manor.
Romney Manor.
Mild-mannered President Willard Romney.
I want to see these debates. We got to get this show on the road. This is like dragging on. And it's just this gross, disgusting.
Yeah.
It's like trench warfare right now.
It is.
It's just gross. And I hope our fellow liberals don't get too discouraged. And, you know, we got to get out there and vote. Because
say it again. Yeah, say it again. President Romney. Just say it till you're comfortable with it. Imagine hearing it for 4 years. President Romney. President Romney.
President Romney.
President Romney.
Imagine the glowing, how glowing the coverage will be.
Today, Vice President Rand Paul said...
Yeah.
Horrifying. And with that horror, we must close, Brother Albert, but it's good hearing from you.
All right. Stay strong, Brother Bob.
Trying to. Later.
Be good.
Bye now. Now Albert's going to go and work on that 1% $80,000 pizza. Thanks, everybody. Thank you very kindly. One more show in the week tomorrow night, Friday on the Front Porch. Hope you'll join us. We badly need your contributions. We got one kind contribution in the amount of $20 this evening, and it helps a lot, and we thank you very kindly. PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com. So is the snail mail address. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this go. Our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky in the chat room, our news ninjas Gene and Susan, our blogger Texas Betsy, Reverbo behind the possum line, John Fox in Australia, Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to all of you. Thank you, of course, always goes out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Go there. Go also to StopTheAche.org and learn about the AIC Act and how you can support it and help end Appalachia's agony. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you. Rick Smith is next.
And a discussion with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Okay, first thing we gotta do is sort out. I just need to make sure. Is it 1 minute past the hour? I know that's a silly thing, especially for a regularly scheduled live broadcast to be asking, but weird things happen here, man. Weird things. Now, we've got a clock on the wall that syncs itself to the atomic clock in Fort God knows where, and it's supposed to be as regular as the sunset and the sunrise and the tides and all of that other stuff. But it's telling me that right now, here on the East Coast, here on the, well, not on the East Coast, but in the mountains of the Eastern time zone, that it's 11 minutes, no, right now it's 12 minutes past 6 p.m. Every other clock in the house says it's just 2 minutes past 6. And I'm afraid I don't want to go through a time warp, not on this Friday, please. Yeah, okay, thank you. Thank you, Lottie. So the clock is sick and not me. Much better. I feel much better about that. How does a self-setting, self-regulating atomic clock go 10 minutes fast? But okay, we're going to be all right. It's going to be okay. It's not a time warp. No strange H.G. Wells creatures are going to come blowing through the door or anything. Yeah, I don't know. The isotopes must be taking the day off at some other day. Who knows? But, hey, it's Friday on the front porch on the horn. And it's a beautiful Friday here in what's left of almost level West Virginia. It doesn't even have a button to sync it, Lottie. It does it itself. That's why I bought it that way. It's maybe it's the batteries. How could batteries make a clock run fast? makes no sense. Oh, well. But anyway, it's Friday on the front porch here in what's left of beautiful, almost level West by God, Virginia. And so we're going to catch up this evening on some stories maybe that didn't get the attention they deserved during the week, as well as some new stuff, some bizarre stuff, some fun stuff maybe. And along the way, well, I'll go ahead and let you know. Here's where we stand. After the early part of the week, fundraising just more or less with. Exception of a few, a very few kind people, dried up, and we need to catch up this evening in a big way because we are badly behind, and the bills are piling up again because we had a hard time getting May taken care of. But anyway, so tonight the goal is to catch up from Wednesday, Thursday, and tonight. So tonight's goal is around $300. I'm happy to report that we are $50 along the way, and thank you very kindly for making that happen. So basically now we only need 25 folks to pony up 10 bucks a piece, and we'll come even with the week, which would be helpful. So there's that. PayPal buttons at headonradionetwork.com, as is the snail mail address. You know, why is this important? Well, you know, I've been telling you for a while now about the AIC Act. The AIC Act is going to drop next week, and I need to be there for it. Others have worked much harder than I, but I have been a part of this process, and I want to be there to witness this moment of Appalachian human rights history. I am told I am needed to be there. So I'm off to Washington, D.C. next week, and then immediately following that, I have to go to a meeting with a group with whom Cold River Mountain Watch is involved, which will keep me on the road for quite some time, up to and including something around probably the 27th or 28th of June. I spoke to Ben Birch last night. Ben will be running the rerun stream during the course of that time, and I'll get back as soon as I can. But it's another long road trip, and I've got to pay bills before we leave. You know, things like the interweb tubes and phones and so forth. So there's that. But I hate being away from the microphone. I hate being away from this. But again, I tell you simply, I can't just sit here and talk about it. This is our world. And this is the assault upon our world. And as a consequence, I will be away for this historic moment. I'm proud to say that we have a number of co-sponsors on the bill, and I'm very proud and thrilled with the efforts you all have made. You have begun making a difference, a very, very big difference, I might add. So you will, when it happens, you will see the co-sponsors on it, and you will know the impact you have had and that you will continue to have, because we will, even after the thing is launched, we will continue to knock on doors and try to raise further awareness of exactly what is going on here in the Appalachian Sacrifice Zone. So that's the housekeeping. A little reminder, starting on July the 2nd, we will be, for the third year in a row, bringing you the PRISM West Virginia Summer Academy, all-day-long broadcasting of the absolutely mind-boggling, brilliant American history. And that'll be the 2nd and the 3rd and the 5th and the 6th and the 9th of July. All day, every day. I wouldn't miss it if I were you. I'm going to be there. I'm not going to miss it. Okay, so we all know that yet we all know that getting confirmation, yes, the time is what it is. Kate on the Front Range noting, magnetic pole shift, polar shift, magnetic north shift, several degrees every once in a while. Welcome to the magic world. That's why I bought the clock. It's not supposed to be subject to magic. Dadgummit. No, there is a lot of fascinating stuff out there this evening, and some of it's just mean and stupid and hateful. And we will get to every last little bit of it, I hope, because I won't have a chance to, I don't think I will have a chance to do this again until we get back because of the loss of certain pieces of equipment that, you know, happened when the little Belgian bastard, the LBB, relieved me of my backpack. But I'd prefer to start the program with a couple of pieces of mail. Two good, one bad. Let's start with the good. You know, we're, what, 6-7 hours behind Europe. So there's usually a little bit of a lag in me and you, therefore, hearing from our buddy Scott in Sweden. But apparently we darn near bridged that time gap, too. Hey, Bob or Rebob? Apparently, yes, the previous note that was Hey, Bob or Reboob was merely a stuttered O and not a renaming. So, Hey, Bob or Rebob, says Scott. What in the F was that audio clip you played where some TV anchor did not want to read the headlines and asked some male chauvinist to do it instead? Well, in answer to that question, that was, see, Scott notably did not say news clip or news network because it wasn't. It was from Fox News, which is merely a brand name. They're strictly entertainment. They've admitted it in court. That was Fox News, and that was Gretchen Carlson getting upset at Brian Kilmeade, and I guess by extension Steve Ducey, who was doing the Willard Scott part of the thing out on the street somewhere. But it was Brian Kilmeade, we're letting women in everywhere. We're letting them play golf. They're playing tennis. They're everywhere. At which point Gretchen Carlson got up and walked off the set and said, do the headlines yourself. So that's what that was in answer to Scott's question. Is this really the current state of news reporting in the United States? Yeah, it kind of is. I mean, that was Fox, and granted, Fox is America's answer to Radio Rwanda, Scott, but you're not going to find just a hell of a lot different if you tune in over in the mornings to, and it was a morning news program, you're not going to find a hell of a lot different if you tune in over to, say, ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, oh, Jesus, not MSNBC. Then you get Joe. I finally took the Horn family's advice and quit watching, and I've been feeling much better lately, thank you. But yes, that is the state. Scott notes, for decades, U.S. news has been too cutesy by an order of magnitude or two, and clips like this one make me very glad this is radio and not TV. Because the audio impression I get is one of uncontainable egos primping and emoting primarily for self-titillation. Yes, and in the case of Fox, for the titillation of their 80-year-old median demographic. I am reminded, continues Scott, of diverse corrupt early Roman emperors staging theater pieces, starring themselves in order to keep their dopamine levels primed. St. John's Wort have evidently not yet discovered, or sufficiently strong hybrids not yet developed. Pretty spot on, Scott. And he says, I know you cannot understand much. You just said a mouthful, brother. But do check out Swedish TV's news for the tone of voice used and the body language and tell me what you think. 5 minutes ought to be more than enough. And he sent me a link and I went and I watched some real live, honest-to-God Swedish TV news. And you don't have to, he's right, you don't have to speak the language in order to tell that there is a manifest difference between what passes for news in the civilized world and what we get here. He's right. The body language was different. The tone of voice was different. The presentation was different. The news anchor, who was female but not blonde and not leggy, I don't even think they showed her from the waist down, would never be able to get a job on Fox without a dye job and reconstructive plastic surgery. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying that to be realistic. This, by the way, is The Horn. Head on radio. Network.com. I'm Bob Kincaid. She couldn't work here because news is not about news, and especially not morning news in America. It's morning news in America. Well, Nancy, because you see, the for-profit media understand that when America first wakes up, it probably is just getting around to getting its first dose of serotonin reuptake inhibitors via a variety of patent medicine, big pharma, so-called antidepressants. America, to a shocking degree now, has to be thoroughly medicated before it ever gets out the door in order to cope with the day and not just head up the nearest bell tower with a clown suit and a rifle. Which all happens altogether too often anyway. So the news has to be presented chirpy and smiley with lots of happy talk. And Brian Kilmeade saying, we're letting women do everything these days. And then when Gretchen Carlson storms off the set saying, she needed a shower. You know, as if, I don't know, her hormones were running rampant. But, of course, last night we also covered the ground of how decorum was utterly destroyed in the Michigan House of Representatives when a member of that body said vagina and another said vasectomy, and the letter V was stricken from the list of words that would be permitted in the Michigan Republican-controlled House of Representatives. And the women were told they would no longer be allowed to speak. But yes, that is the state of broadcast news. And as noted, it ain't much difference from anything going on any of the other programs. Scott went on to note that there is a big difference. He said very few Swedish presenters on SVT, our BBC, would get a job on commercial TV. We even have one guy with an immobile glass eye whose gaze is rather disturbing. But he's a damn good reporter. But you're right. It is actual journalism and highly professional. 3 years ago, one of our TV honest-to-God meteorologists decided to go all Al Gore and presented his very own Inconvenient Truth-style lecture, presents it all over the country. He's probably visited every junior high school, county council, city council, etc. in the country. And some folks probably several times. He is tireless. You know what that'd get you in America, Scott? That would get you suspended. Unless you were saying that global warming was entirely made up and not real. In which case, it'll just get you a job at Fox News. Just like saying that Barack Obama and Joe Biden are turning teenagers gay will probably get that little weirdo from West Virginia a gig on Fox sooner rather than later. Dates away, beginning Monday and back around the 28th or 29th. Kevin? Kevin just sent an email saying, please repeat the date, she'll be gone. There will be reruns going during that entire time. I will be tweeting and Facebooking along the way just to let you know how things are developing. So that's mail, piece of mail number one. Now, piece of mail number two. I saved these for the beginning of the program. You remember our little right-wing lurker? Chadrick Rumpensteiner Bachman? Great name. I got to give credit where credit's due. If you're going to come up with a fake name to use because you're afraid to use your own, then that's a dandy. You know the news, right? Today, President Barack Obama took steps to allow certain people who were brought into this country to have a shot at the American dream. The right wing has been having a sure enough, no kidding, purple polka dotted, blue screaming, hissy, not to mention having kittens with crocheted tails all day long. Losing what passes for their minds. So consequently, I get from our little right-wing lurker, I get this. So Obama is now desperate enough to finally let the flow if immigrants come in illegally? Again, so Obama is now desperate enough to finally let the flow if immigrants come in illegally? I'm going to assume that what he meant was, so Obama is now desperate enough to finally let the flow of immigrants come in legally? He continues, my wife is Filipino and a teacher. Her friends are Filipino teachers. Their spouses are not allowed to work or at least be on a payroll until, of course, the working spouse becomes a U.S. citizen. Can you explain this to me, please? Now, Chadwick, you're getting most of your news from the for-profit right-wing media, so I don't know if it's either physically, philosophically, morally, ethically, or even within the terms and conditions of an expanding universe possible to do that. I'm sure it's not just a Democrat thing, but why can't the spouses of working visa holders work? Why is the administration pushing to bring in more people who are illegal while there are spouses that could on the payrolls and pay taxes? You see, this is what happens when you pay attention to the right-wing filth machine. One of the principal architects and advisors and pals of the removed neo-Nazi senator in Arizona is a creepy, pasty dude from Kansas by the name of Chris Kobach. And he serves as an immigration advisor to the Willard Romney campaign. He says that the president's plan is deeply troubling. Kobach, as Secretary of State of Kansas, somehow or another managed to be the person who actually wrote SB 1070 in Arizona, as well as the incredibly stupid, hateful immigration law in Alabama, you know, the one that got a Mercedes-Benz executive jailed for not having his papers in order. Chris Kobach has said he is going to openly defy the President of the United States because he says that the deferred action policy, as announced, is illegal. Now, you do understand, and I know you do because you're progressive, you're liberal. In other words, you've got a functioning brain and not thin gray settling sloshing in between your ears that pass for brains instead of actually being them. You understand that this is a partial accommodation for children. For children who, having been born, and whom the right wing would have cared about if they'd only stayed unborn, for children who, having been born, were brought to the United States without any real say in the matter. This is the generation of people that the Republicans despise. This is the generation of young people that the Republicans are hoping will grow up to be their little helots. You remember, that was the servant, slave, tormented class that the Spartans used to routinely beat, murder, and rob. Well, it is this young class that the Repiglicans and the white supremacists and the weirdos of the GOP and the teabaggers and whatnot hoped were going to grow up and scrub their toilets and mow their lawns for substandard wages. Not go to college. Not become perhaps authors or teachers or scientists or anything like that. No, 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 no. Because, you see, that's what this immigration initiative does, is it finally takes the sins of the father, so to speak, or mother, off of the backs of children who had no say-so in where they went, save for the fact that they had to go with mama and daddy. Or mama or daddy. And lives up to the promise that is inscribed upon the tablet. Anyway, lives up to the promise that Emma Lazarus mentioned in saying, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Yeah, I know. The Republican Party doesn't want no more than huddled masses unless they can be hired for $1.95 an hour and are willing to scrub toilets and keep their mouths shut. But Chris Kobach is a man of ethics and principle. He says that the president is illegal. Of course, Chris Kobach probably also thinks he's a Kenyan Muslim anti-colonialist with deep-seated tendencies of hatred toward white people. Why not? But here's the funny part. And I mean, this comes from a quarter I never thought I would be mentioning. Another individual gave an interview on the president's policy today. This isn't about just letting anybody willy-nilly into the United States, opening... What was it Chad said, Chadwick? What did you say? Oh, there. Finally, let the flow if immigrants come in illegally. Can you imagine that? He's saying that about children. He's saying that about toddlers. He's saying that about two-year-olds who grew up, obeyed the law, stayed out of trouble, lived the American dream, and would like to go on and keep on living it and do things like crazy stuff, like go to college, get good jobs, and pay taxes. Good luck to them, anybody that age trying to get a job these days. We could sort that out with some Social Security reform by making everybody pay FICA taxes on all of their wealth. We could sort that out. We could lower the retirement age so young people could enter the workforce. Wouldn't that be neat? Of course, the world's richest man, some Mexican fellow, announced in the last couple of days that he wants to see the retirement age raised because people are living longer. The only problem being that they aren't, that actual life expectancies are declining because ordinary folks are working harder and they're still working the same broke-down, back-breaking jobs that they have worked since settled society began with the advent of agriculture and animal husbandry. But like I said, it was from a strange quarter that I heard this latest comment about President Obama's initiative dealing with the Dream Kids, because these are the people who would have been served by the Dream Act if only the Congress could get off its porcine hindquarters and get its front trotters out of the Citizens United trough and actually do something for the American people. But they can't, because the Republican Party doesn't want any part of that. This is the answer. I know, says the questioner, I know you were talking about the idea of calling it amnesty, and you were saying it isn't amnesty because... dot, dot, dot. And this is the answer given. They haven't done anything wrong. In order to get amnesty, you've got to have some, you've got to have done something wrong. These young people are innocent. They haven't done anything wrong. To me, this is the low-lying fruit of immigration reform. This ought to be something we can all unite around. They have to have been under 16 when they got here. They got to be under 30. He's not granting citizenship. He's granting a pathway to legal status. He's making it so they're protected from being deported, and they can get on with their lives and their education with serving in the military, investing in themselves, in our nation, and our nation's future. Who can be against that? Question. What's your reaction to people who call this amnesty? Answer. They need a course in remedial English. It's not amnesty. Question. Do you have any advice? Answer. Yeah. I would say to the Romney campaign, this is the right thing to do. You should applaud the president for doing the right thing and encourage Congress to follow up by codifying it into law. Guess what? None, precisely none of that is going to happen. Why? Because all the teabaggers, well, I guess we're going to have to go back down to the Rio Grande and start shooting them coming across, because ain't nobody wants to protect our borders. Now, here's the part where if you're standing up, you need to sit down. If you're sitting down, you need to make sure that you're not just going to tip right over. Do you know who said all this? And I mean, you could have knocked me over with a feather when I read it. They got a little thing going on in Washington, D.C. right now called the Faith and Freedom Conference. Attending that conference is a man named Dick Land. Dick Land is a former exalted noble grand noble dragon or the precious lumpkin or whatever of the Southern Baptist Church. Yeah, you heard me right. The Southern Baptist Church. Hardline, right-wing, anti-everything, hates the gay folks, virulently opposed to letting a couple of guys or a couple of women pick out China patterns and monogrammed towel colors, those little soaps that sit on the dish and you're never supposed to touch. That Dick Land. And so, in light of the fact that Chadwick here seems to be pushing the typical right-wing point of amnesty, I can only say that one of the most hardline, hate-filled, right-wing religion industry spokespeople in this country says, and this is a quote, They need a course in remedial English. It's not amnesty. Who also said, these young people are innocent. They haven't done anything wrong. They haven't done anything wrong. In order to get amnesty, you've got to have done something wrong. And they haven't. But don't look for Willard Romney to get this right. What Willard Romney will do, on the other hand, is get this right wing. Going back to Scott's earlier email, Jim notes, with a beautiful reference, like the Stygian witches who had to share an eye, that trio of idiots on Fox Morning have to share a poorly developed brain. So poorly developed that I think, Jim, we are hard-pressed to refer to it as a brain as such. Marty with a query, does that mean that those moronic teabaggers are going to shoot Americans who might be trying to escape to Mexico and further south, are they?
Well, they just want to shoot somebody. The hell good's having a shooting gun if you ain't shooting the gun.
Kevin noting, let's call this conference, this Faith and Freedom Conference, what it is. It's not Faith and Freedom, it's the Mind Control and Fascism Conference. All too true. Jim gets the first toaster of this Friday on the front porch, awarded by Dr. John, for Stygian witches. If I was on broadcast air, I wouldn't go near Stygian, I would not go near the phrase Stygian witches for a farm. You say that two or three times, and you're just begging for one of them $475,000 nipple flash penalties from the FCC. A query from an individual who may remain anonymous, because the writer said not necessarily for broadcast, but I think it is. With regard to my reading these emails from our right winger, you know, we've only had one. I mean, I had a bunch of them back on in the bad old days of broadcast terrestrial radio in America's fifth smallest radio market. But they dried up and went away as soon as they figured out that I no longer had any tolerance for them. This query: why give this gleefully uninformed douche airtime? They have, as you say, 1,000 times our space. He's too lame to make it into Limbaugh, Bortz, Ingram, Hewitt, etc. Way too weak for the horn. True, in all cases. Not necessarily. I don't necessarily agree. I think he would probably be a natural fit for Limbaugh, Bortz, Ingram, Hewitt, Hannity, Rusty, Humphreys, whoever the rest of the weirdos are. But there's some sort of jolly pleasure, I suppose. Marty noting, and our right-wing lurker is no doubt a Christian. Don't know. Don't know. So there's that. And that's the reason. It was just perfectly timed. I might have let this thing lay were it not for the fact that Dickland, not Bob, Dickland, said he needs a course in, what? I'll get that. Remedial English. You know, the one that the language that the right wingers are constantly saying needs to be the national language, even though a vast majority of people attempting to speak it, most of whom are teabaggers, right-wingers, John Birchers, skinheads, and the like, probably couldn't pass the immigration proficiency test in English. No, that sense of persecution that pervades the religion industry here in the United States is, as with, it seems, all bad things that we come up with, spreading. The story here about an individual by the name of Dr. Richard Scott. I actually received this story via an emergency blast email from the right reverend, upstanding, Jesus God-fearing Donald Wildman of the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi, a proven hate group. This thing is not datelined. Let me see if I can get some idea of where they are. I'm guessing the UK. Yep, UK. I think they're on Rumpole of the Bailey Street in London, it says here. It is the story of a man by the name of Dr. Richard Scott, who is quite certain he is being persecuted for his Lord. Now, Dr. Richard Scott is not one of those doctors that can't put on a Band-Aid without killing somebody. No, he's a general practitioner. He's a physician. Went to medical school and everything. According to what I'm looking at, has practiced for over 28 years. And he's been investigated by GMC. I had no idea that the General Motors Corporation had oversight of physicians in the UK, but, oh wait, no. The General Medical Council of the United Kingdom has something called an investigation committee, and yesterday it issued a formal reprimand of Dr. Richard Scott. Why? Let's review. Dr. Scott is a real-life, honest-to-goodness, no-kidding physician. Dr. Scott sees patients as a general practitioner. He sends patients on to other people, other practitioners who might be more specialized when they need specialized care. He is a physician. He is not the Reverend Dr. Scott. He is not Monsignor Dr. Scott. He's not Pope Dr. Scott. He's just Dr. Scott, and he happens to be, he says, a Christian. So a patient comes to Dr. Scott, and if one, and it's, you know, it's one of these little statistical moments, kind of like drunk driving. You know, they say that when somebody gets busted for DUI, that odds are they've been doing it for a while and their luck finally ran out, and they were lucky enough just to get caught and not killed. So if this has happened once, it's probably happened hundreds of times. But nobody said anything about it until now. Dr. Scott was seeing a patient, and in his own words, Dr. Scott says, "I can't get it gone, Captain. The dilithium crystals are all burned up." No, Dr. Scott didn't say that. That's just our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. He said, "I'm deeply upset at this decision by my professional body. My professional reputation has been compromised, and I have been disciplined just for sharing my Christian views. It is recognized by many peer-reviewed articles that faith can help unwell people." Dr. Orwell? George? All right, Mr. Orwell. You want to take a look at that last clause of that sentence? Faith can help unwell people. Oh, Bob. That's remarkably, remarkably delightful. I thought so. Faith can help unwell people. And it does. Every day. Children, all the way up. You take a perfectly normal, healthy child, and you give them a big dose of fundamentalist religion, and you unwell them. I'm appalled by this decision, says Dr. Scott. Many doctors will be deeply concerned with the way this case has been handled by the GMC. Our society seems to becoming more and more repressive, with ordinary decent people being reported to the authorities and disciplined, not for committing any crime, but just for expressing their Christian beliefs. See, this guy's just like the rest of them. He's a liar. He was not disciplined simply for expressing his beliefs. He was disciplined because a patient came to him for medical treatment and instead of medically treating them, he told them to go pray. I'm afraid there's nothing much I can do for you here. I do, however, suggest you pray as I am a Christian. And when properly invoked, my God can be quite powerful. In testimony, the patient said he was offered no medical options, but that Dr. Scott did tell him that, quote, belief in Jesus Christ was the only way that his suffering would be relieved. And Dr. Scott thinks he's being persecuted. If he wants to be a priest, let him go be a priest. I don't know if he's married or not. There are certain... He can be an Anglican priest. They can be married. He can be a Greek Orthodox priest, a Russian Orthodox priest. They can be married. If he's unmarried, he can be a Roman Catholic priest. And then when people come to them and say, I don't have any medical options, he can say, let's pray over it. But if he wants to actually be a physician, he needs to keep his efforts within the realm of medicine. Is this so hard to comprehend? That's one of the themes that seems to be emerging over the course of the last few days, if not the last couple of weeks. The things that we take for granted, things that we think are seemingly innocuously comprehensible to just about anybody with a pair of neurons to rub together, prove to be insurmountable hurdles to right wings and fundies. They can't understand that sea level rise is not liberal code. They can't understand that science does not have a political bias unless the politics happen to be ex post facto aligned along the same lines as the science and based upon fact and reason. And now we find out that they can't understand that the practice of medicine is not a function of praying and laying on of hands, but of using the scientific method to diagnose a problem and deal with the patient as best as possible. And if, as occasionally, probably more occasionally than any physician would like to even think about, you run into somebody for whom there are no medical options, then fine. Say, I suggest you contact your priest, or your shaman, or your imam, or your lama, or whatever. But don't be mixing the two, because they aren't the same thing. And no, there aren't any goddamn peer-reviewed articles that say that prayer does anybody any material healing good. There aren't. He is, in short, a liar. And according to their book, There is a prince of lies, and apparently this creep is a servant of him. Simple, simple, simple things that they just can't wrap their minds around. Jeebus. And it goes on and on and on. It's kind of a piece of good news, I guess. A lawsuit has been filed in the state of Texas against the Liberty County Sheriff's Office, as well as media outlets KPRC, Belo Corp, The New York Times, CNN America, Thomson, Reuters, and ABC News. Why? Because a couple, Joe Bankson and Gina Charlton, were subjected to a hellish, horrific invasion of their personal privacy and their right to quiet enjoyment of their property. You know, one of those things the teabaggers say and the libertarians say and the piglickets say they're all about unless they're not. In the form of a huge descent of the said Liberty County Sheriff's Office onto their property to dig it up. No, really, to dig it up. Searching for a mass grave. Bodies upon bodies upon bodies. This happened in rural Liberty County, Texas, back in 2011. Not a single body was ever found buried in the backyard. So what, you might ask, would possess the Liberty County Sheriff's Office to go out and dig up the yard? I mean, maybe it's kind of like the fact pattern in U.S. v. Leon, that Supreme Court case, where the DEA agents or whatever were supposed to go and knock down the door and find all the dope in apartment 3, but instead they went to apartment 2 and just wound up terrorizing an innocent family. And the Rehnquist court had to craft a good faith exception for law enforcement screw-ups out of it. Maybe that's what it was. No. 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 They wouldn't have a lawsuit if that was the case, because there's a good faith exception to law enforcement screw-ups enshrined in the body of decisional evidence, decisional law, the stare decisis crafted over the course of centuries by the Supreme Court of the United States. No. Among other things, it was rental property that these people were occupying, and they couldn't go back to it because the mere presence of law enforcement there had made it pretty much impossible. Well, just because they didn't find the bodies don't mean they ain't there. There's a Jane Doe on the lawsuit, too, and she is why the whole ball of wax got rolling. This is the kicker of the story, so to speak. The Liberty County Sheriff's Office descended upon the home of these peaceful people because a psychic, no, really a psychic, had told them that there was a mass grave in the backyard because she had visioned it. there weren't anybody, there wasn't anybody missing to be in the mass grave in the first place. A psychic with the made-up name Angel, listed as a John Doe in the complaint, went to the Liberty County Sheriff's Office and said she had had a vision of a mass grave at that address. And the Liberty County Sheriff's Office response was to say, one Adam 12, see the mass grave behind them. A psychic. I guess from the Psychic Fiends Network. A psychic. I guess psychics have bad days too. But at what point did right-wing places like Texas lose even the ability to recognize that maybe you ought not be descending upon a person's home when your only evidence is derived from somebody who said they saw it in their mind? Lawyer Andrew B. Summerman told the Dayton News not a single body was found buried in the backyard. This all started with a psychic who gave the sheriff's office a tip. A bad psychic who... There are good ones? A bad psychic who had given the sheriff's office tips in the past that were wrong. In other words, they'd been to... She'd gone to the sheriff's office before with other mass graves and visions and stuff. And the Liberty County, Texas Sheriff's Department said, let's roll. And all manner of media, then circus-like, descended upon these poor people's home. The only response offered by the Liberty County Sheriff's Office came from Liberty County Sheriff Henry Patterson, who said, this situation was handled okay on our end. I am not worried about our part of it. Everyone at that location, the media, was told that nothing was going on and we couldn't stop what happened. But something was going on. The daggum backyard was being dug up. The people were being rousted, their homes searched, on allegations that they were sitting smack dab on top of a mass grave. Well, see, this is where you guys come in. A little background. Email. No surprise to me at all. Neighboring county to where I came up. Redneck and racist and dirt ignorant to the nth degree. Liberty County, Texas. Exactly, Marty. Absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. Marty also noting some psychics are better than others. So are some con artists. Kevin with the query, aren't Christians supposed to stay away from mediums and psychics and stuff, if I remember my Bible correctly? Picking and choosing again, just like they do, I guess. Because, I mean, you just know that the sheriff of Liberty County, Texas, is a Bible-believing Christian. Right? Again, little things that are obvious to the rest of us that are lost on a significant portion of the population of this country. No mention of the Hearst Corp being sued. Maybe for once the editorial staff, why don't we lay off this one? This might be another one of Angel cases. Little tiny things that are obvious to the rest of us that are totally freaking lost on the vast majority of the right wing in this country. And one more little piece of evidence of the same. piece of legislation. Not proposed legislation, but rather legislation that has been passed out of the legislative body for the governor's signature. The state and all political subdivisions may not adopt or implement policy recommendations that deliberately or inadvertently infringe or restrict private property rights without due process, as may be required by policy recommendations originating in or traceable to Agenda 21, adopted by the United Nations in 1992 at its Conference on Environment and Development, or any other international law or ancillary plan of action that contravenes the Constitution of the United States or the Constitution of the State. The name of the state is actually contained in the legislation. Would anyone care to, shall we make a game of this? Would anyone care to guess? If there's anything to be good to be had out of this legislation, maybe it's the fact that if this had been the law in the state of Texas, maybe those folks wouldn't have had their backyard dug up. But well, no, because there's nothing about Agenda 21 that motivated the Liberty County, Texas Sheriff's Office to go and dig up the backyard. You'd think when the body sniff and body finding dogs show up and just wind up just sitting back on their haunches and scratching behind their own ears with their rear with their hind leg, that maybe that would have been a clue. Well, Fred, I don't think we got to dig. Rover over here ain't always doing it again. Damn. Now I'll give you a couple of minutes. You wanna place a bet on where the statute's coming from? Or do you just want the answer straight up? It can happen either way. Yeah, all right, I'll go ahead and tell you. The state of Alabamistan, you kind of knew, didn't you? Didn't you know it was going to be Alabama or Mississippi or Georgia? Maybe Tennessee, possibly Arkansas. Oklahoma would have been pretty easy, too. Kansas wouldn't have been a stretch. Missouri's in the realm of possibility. But when you come right down home to it, the state that tried to outlaw homosexual references and homosexual authors from books to be in the libraries of the state of Alabama, same people, right? This is what happens when you let the Koch brothers write your legislation for you. Because the Koch brothers and the teabaggers are all head up about Agenda 21, you know, that happened 20 years ago. They're just right now having the 20th anniversary of the Rio Conference in Rio. Nothing, of course, will happen. Because the United States will actively work to make sure that nothing happens. The real name of Agenda 21, which has way too many words for your average bagger, is the Rio Declaration on Environment and Development. The Koch brothers recognize it, as do the teabaggers, as the vast international conspiracy to take away our freedom with windmills and solar panels. Really. And I'll go ahead and tell you one other thing that kind of really creeps me out about this is that the meeting that I have to attend after after I leave Washington, D.C., is in Alabamistan. And the legislature of the state of Alabama, elected overwhelmingly by Alabamians, has just passed a law that makes it impossible for the state of Alabama to pass any other law that would speak to the needs of the people of the state of Alabamistan with regard to clean air or clean water. For all it says, it pretty much it comes damned close to actually shutting down the Alabama Department of Environmental Quality, such as it is. Sustainability. Now, this is an excellent blog post by R.P. Siegel over at triplepundit.com. R.P. Siegel writes, at the risk of being struck down by lightning, I actually looked at the document itself, and here's what I found. Human beings are at the center of concerns for sustainable development. They are entitled to a healthy and productive life in harmony with nature. States shall cooperate in a spirit of global partnership. See, that's it. Globalism! That's that one world government that John Birchers was warning us about on the Alan Stang Report way back in the 1970s. States shall cooperate in a spirit of global partnership to conserve, protect, and restore the health and integrity of the Earth's ecosystem. See, they're worshiping the false god of the Earth. The right to development must be fulfilled so as to equitably meet developmental and environmental needs of present and future generations. I think R.P. Siegel must be familiar with the language because he says in the next paragraph, I suspect it's this last one that has folks riled up. We don't like no equity around here, especially the folks at the bottom. Siegel continues, that seems to be a uniquely American phenomenon. Once again, a significant portion of the population of the United States of America cannot comprehend the most basic and essential of facts, otherwise recognized as downright mundane by the rest of us. Because, and I don't routinely like to use a whole bunch of bad words, even an Alabamian can tell you, you don't shit in your nest. Whereas this bill says, everybody come on over here and have a squat. Stunning. Utterly and absolutely stunning. Ron and Raleigh reminding us all, hey, Bob, remember Alabama outlawed the possession of marital aids. When marital aids are outlawed, only outlaws will have marital aids. Hear, hear. Hear, hear. Jay writing in from Yuma. Bob, I've lived and worked in Liberty County, Texas for 12 years. Rednecks nearly one and all. It's just across the... See, this is one of them damn language moments. Proper Spanish would be San Jacinto, but no, I think it's the San Jacinto. It's just across the San Jacinto River from the place where the guy killed the school teacher last week. Aw, Jesus, no. You know, these dumb bastards want to build a wall across the border of the United States when I've got a feeling we ought to build a wall around them. And a big old Logan's Run kind of dome, too. Keep all the stupid from getting out. Jeebus. And then, just one more little item. Dr. John and I were talking about this. That points, again, to failures of comprehension on almost a systemic level. I saw this story quoted. I think Lottie did it in the chat room last night. And the headline is quite fascinating, and I just love this kind of stuff because I kind of love the speculative stuff that says that. I mean, I'm fascinated by it. I don't hold it up as true, and I try generally not to do any believing at all. But it's fun like going to the zoo. Bones in Bulgaria, maybe of John the Baptist, study. It's particularly depressing that this comes from Agence France-Presse. I thought better of them. The lead to the story begins quite spectacularly, titillatingly even, perhaps. Scientists have found new evidence, they say, supports the theory that a knuckle bone and other human remains found under a church floor in Bulgaria may be of John the Baptist. What? Really? John the Baptist? The one that baptized Jesus and everything? Yeah, that John the Baptist. The relics found in a small marble sarcophagus 2 years ago on a Bulgarian island called Sweaty Ivan, which translates as Sweaty John, also included Sveti Ivan, which translates as Saint John, also included a human tooth, part of a skull, and three animal bones. I thought the Bible said he lived on locusts and wild honey. I didn't know that locust pieces could hang out that long. A research team from Oxford University dated the right-handed knuckle bone to the 1st century AD, when John is believed. Big blinking red lights ought to be in bold-faced italic 25-point believed to have lived until his beheading ordered by King Herod, the university said in a statement. Journalism moment, that makes it sound like that the university said in a statement that John the Baptist was ordered beheaded by King Herod, which if there's any direct evidence on it, I would love to see it. But that's the nature of this kind of crap. That goes wandering off into the series of tubes and comes out with people, Muriel, this is amazing. All them atheists is going to drop dead right here this minute. They done found the knuckle bone of John the Baptist. Hallelujah, glory, hand me a snake, Muriel. Call Cousin Marveline and let her know. This will give her a spiritual uplift. Scientists from the University of Copenhagen analyzed the DNA of the bones, finding they came from a single individual, probably a man, from a family, in the modern-day Middle East, where John would have lived 2,000 years ago. But it says it's from the modern-day Middle East. Which is it? Do we have any editors left? Did they all get on the ship and go to the other planet? Question. Any guesses how many people lived between, say, one of the current era and 100 of the current era? And if we have a general idea of what that number is, can we guess reasonably well at what percentage of that number in those 100 years or so were people who lived in the Middle East of its day? If you wanted to be accurate, wouldn't you say a man from a family in what we now call the Middle East, but was then known as Palestine. So what they know is they've got the knuckle bone and a tooth of a dead Palestinian from the first century. And then you get the real sad news. The National Geographic Channel has turned it into a documentary about the discovery of the knuckle bone and tooth of John the Baptist. Bulgarian archaeologists have found a small box made of hardened volcanic ash close to the sarcophagus. Okay. This Sunday, the documentary will air on the National Geographic Channel in Great Britain. Muriel, oh Muriel, do come here. The box, made of hardened volcanic ash, that they don't tell us whether is routinely to be found in the modern-day Middle East, as they say, bore inscriptions in ancient Greek. Really? Ancient Greek? Not Koine? Because, you know, the whole New Testament was ultimately first published in Koine Greek, not ancient Greek like you read if you go off and decide to learn Greek and read the Iliad and the Odyssey and stuff. The box bore inscriptions in ancient Greek that referred to John the Baptist and the date that Christians celebrate his birth, June 24th. It must be. Many sites around the world claim to hold relics of the saint, including the Grand Mosque in Damascus, which says it has his head. Oh boy, oh boy. Let's match up the bones. Let's match up that knuckle bone with some of that skull bone. And if they match up, it's John the Baptist, right? Wrong. Because this article is a classic display of the utter lack of scientific understanding that pervades so much of the world. The shoe, follow the shoe, I want to worship the box. With the ancient Greek on it. Sing me, O Muse. Craziness. Because you see, if you was to match up the knuckle bone and the head bone, if they've actually got the head bone there at the Grand Mosque in Damascus, and they matched up and they was definitely the same feller, you would know that you had the head and knuckle bone and tooth of one guy out of God knows how many millions who existed in the 100 years in what was then Palestine, only one of whom might possibly, if the legend turns out to be true, have been John the Baptist. Or Sweaty Ivan. The findings of another Oxford researcher using historical documents suggest that the monastery of Sweaty Ivan may have received a portion of John the Baptist's relics in the 5th or early 6th centuries. So that means that for 400 years, they weren't the relics of John the Baptist. You do know that the locals there, when the Christians decided to start putting up monasteries and temples and churches and the edifices and whatnot, were notorious for standing on the street corner looking for somebody wearing a cross and offering to sell them a piece of the true cross. The mother of Constantine the Great went to the so-called Holy Land and brought back hunks of the true cross. Sold to her, I have no doubt, by a true businessman. You think, given the length of time that that land was occupied, there might have been a... My God! Outside, what is it? Outside the boundaries of Jerusalem itself, There was a place called Sheol. Where are you when I need you, Texas Betsy? A sort of potter's field where people's remains were thrown who couldn't get properly buried or whatever it was. Bones were just rolling around. I seek the remains of John the Baptist, for I had a vision that he is buried in a mass grave here. Oh, yes, he is. He was. We dug him up. Would you like to buy him? Ron and Raleigh, you got me. Now, wait a minute. Hey, Bob, according to our Christian friends, carbon dating's not reliable, right? So how do these goobers date this knuckle bone? Carbon dating. Can't date a dinosaur bone, but you can date a saint's knuckle. Got it. Thank you, Dr. John San Jacinto. Yes, Marty, I'm convinced all the remaining editors are warping out even as I'm speaking. Marty also observing, that's the Rupert Murdoch influence on National Geographic. Such a shame for what was a great network. Isaac pointing out, ignorance is the mother of all religion, and religion is the mother of all hate. More language fun. See, this is why places like Texas and other are difficult for me. Dr. John pointing out, near my boyhood home is a peninsula jutting into Galveston Bay. It's Bolivar Peninsula, named for Simon Bolivar, the freedom fighter who supported Texas independence from Mexico. Of course, it's not pronounced Bolivar, but Bolivar. Thanks for the phonetics, Dr. John. So, do we have a theme? If we do, let's work it, or not. Whatever you want to bring to the table is fine. You know the phone lines are open, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333, and we have proudly added to the lineup of availabilities of means by which one may contact the program, Skype. All you need to do is search Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, and send a request. I'll add you to the contacts, and we can have a Skype conversation, if you so desire. I can proudly announce that, having said that we needed to reach a $300 threshold this evening, we are $150 of the way there. Thank you. Thank you very much. I can't tell you how badly it is needed. Because I know what's going to dry up next week. This is our last big push for June. So you won't have to listen to this much more. Thank you. If we can get to 300, it'll be magnificent. So, light up the phones. It's Friday on the front porch, and the last chat we'll have for a while, I reckon. And we'll be back. You're listening to America's listener-supported liberal voice. You are, in fact, listening to the horn.